Good morning, happy Sabbath, everyone. I said, good morning, happy Sabbath, everyone. There you go. See, sometimes we come in here, we're so somber when we come to church. So I think when we come to church, we should be more like God. But this is what we shouldn't be when we come to church. Now, see what I'm saying? Sometimes we just come here like the Lord ain't even in our lives. You know what I mean? We come here thinking about everything else, texting, talking on the phone. But, you know, we should come here with the Spirit of the Lord in our heart. You know, we should come here and, like, hug somebody. Tell them that you love them. Put your hands together. You know what I'm saying? Tell them, hug somebody, tell them that you love them. Come on. There you go. Sing the song, everybody. Not yet. Y'all getting ahead of yourselves. Hold on. I got you. Calm down. I got you. Don't sit it back down. I got you. What I'm saying is, I was just giving y'all a taste of what's going to happen. That's all I'm saying. Just giving y'all a false alarm. That's all. But what I'm saying is, when we come in, we should have a smile on our face. Because we come in whose house? And then when we get to heaven, we ain't going to be coming with that somber look. We got to go up there and pray and praise him all the time. But before we get to that part of the program, I want to invite first-time visitors. Do we have any? There you go. That's what I'm talking about. All right. All right, could the beautiful young lady in the second row give us her name and where she's from? Okay, you young lady. All righty. And I saw somebody in the back, they tried to sit down on me. Come on back up and let me see you. There you go. All right. We got one more? Oh, okay then. Well, he didn't tell anybody that. See what I'm saying? But that's okay. But, see? We have some new visitors. When we come here, always remember that. Not just the visitors get this welcome, but we all should get it. So now we can go ahead and do that song.
Bow your heads and close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this lovely morning. And please help us to have a good day. And please help all the sick people in the hospital. And please help Uncle Sheldon and Auntie Terry go to Utah safely. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning, church. Our hymn today is 517, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. You'll find a hymnal under the seat. We'll all stand as we sing 517. Yes, also it's in your bulletin. Thank you. kindly be seated.
I, Joseph, the son of Samuel, the son of fortune, was a sojourner in the north country. When Michael stood up to shake terribly the earth, and from the bottom of the great sea to the top of the mountains, from the dense, crowded cities to the desolate wastelands, the earth shook like a reed in the wind. And there came a time of trouble such as never was since this country existed. And the rich stole the houses of the poor and sold it back to the poor and made off with billions. And those that had were given more. And to them that had not, even the little that they had was taken away. And great fear fell upon all the people. And there was a voice crying in the wilderness, saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Run to and fro and see if you can find a man that will stand in the gap, repairing the breach, restoring the paths to dwell in. Men who would be true to duty as needle is to the pole. And of this particular tribe, seek ye after the men of Issachar. And I crossed the mountains by the way of the canyon of Richie to the other side of the mountain to Loma Linda, for surely there sat the school of the prophets, men arrayed in fine linen and bars on their arms times three, of excellent speech and of well-carved chariots. Then said I, surely, these are the men of Issachar. But the Spirit said unto me, seest thou these men clothed in fine linen, like the likeness of the butlers? They are not of the tribe of Issachar. For the men of Issachar are men who has knowledge of the times and know what Israel ought to do. They have much fine words and fine linen, but they do not. Then the Spirit led me back by the way of the mountain, by the way of San Mateo Canyon, to the temple of Imani, to a humble fireside by a parking lot, and said unto me, go in. And I went in and I looked, and I immediately stood up for to leave. For here are men, but what doest thou these women amongst them? And the Spirit said unto me, look not upon their gender, nor their stature, nor their place of origin, for behold, I do a new thing among my people. The prophet will not be from the lineage of Samuel, nor the priest paid or sent by the Sanhedrin. Let him that read it so understand. They that serve me will serve me in spirit and in truth, with or without money. Seest thou these women amongst them, descendants of Sheba, children of Naphtali, of the root and the offspring of Enzinga? To them have I given also my spirit, and I have put into Terry, the wife of Brian, the spirit of sight. And she shall see even cells, whether they are dead or whether they are alive. And I stood up at the back of the temple and spoke not. And then stood up this, the youngest amongst the men. And my anger was kindled, for he had an infirmity in his leg. And I said unto him that talked with me, has not Moses said that neither the lamb nor the priest must have any spot or blemish? How servest thou this man among God's people? And I heard, as it were, a voice that said, "Seest thou this Sheldon, the son of Brian, from the land of Bob the Marley? The one with the infirmity? These many years he has served me and my people without money and without price. It was I that called him from the womb and put my words in his mouth and caused him to speak with the tongues of the Grecians and to understand the writings of the Hebrews, to make my word plain, to speak to my people, whether they would hear or whether they would forbear. And it was I that touched his thigh, as I did unto Jacob his forefathers, that when he standeth among those with bars and stripes up in Washington, D.C., when the General Conference meet, when he standeth among them, he would say, 'It is by the Lord's power, and not by might nor by spirit, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.' Son of man, of such are the men of Issachar. And this Sheldon, the son of Brian, and Terry, his wife, of the tribe of Issachar, served the Lord several years at Imani. And they knew what Israel ought to do, and they did. And all the rest of the doings of the Lord with that man of Issachar, are they not written in the books? When he took him down to the clay pots and had him write a book, and his sayings and his teachings, and how he led the young people and pleaded with them to serve the Lord, are they not written in the minds of the people and kept in the archives of Tony the Leech, who made pictures and kept them in his storage? And year after year, Sheldon pleaded with King George of the Sanhedrin, 'Please, please, should not they that preach of the word live by the word?' But King George hearkened not. Then sang Sheldon this strange song, 'I ain't gonna wait in vain for your love. It's been 3 long years and more.' And the spirit took him away to the north cold country and said thus unto him, 'I will be with you. I will put your words in my mouth, and I will preach, and I will use you to accomplish what I will.' Then said his wife unto him, 'Ask the angel what he will give us for serving him all these many years.' For they had no children. And he said unto them, 'Speak unto Joseph, the son of the fortunes, and he shall tell thee what thou must do, and whatever he says unto you to do, that doest, and thy house shall be full.'"
Yeah. be praised. What a privilege this morning to spend some time with Pastor Bryant and Sister Terry Bryant this moment in time, to be able to share with them how God has matriculated them through this process of ministry. I want you to know that it was a privilege, and it is a privilege, to be able to serve with Pastor Bryant and his wife. If you all recall, several years ago, when we were in a different place, several years ago, his wife whispered in my ear, wasn't anything wrong with that, it's all right. She said, "My husband is on his way here." I said, "Well, what are his qualifications? Let's dialogue about that." And so we had just brought Pastor Bryant on and Pastor Drummond. We were very excited. And so we were excited to be able to see what God was going to do. So Pastor Bryant and I met. And if you recall, I met with you and your wife, and we had an interview. I said, because we only bring the best to Imani. Somebody ought to say amen. Somebody ought to say amen. I said, we bring the best. And so we sat down together and we dialogued. And you know, this young man that I see here was very excited and willing to be used by the Lord. I recall that on one occasion that when he got here, you know, he was a little cocky. Somebody ought to say amen. And so I said, you know, I said, Pastor, you know, I'm a seasoned pastor. You're still growing. And so he said, I said, I'll tell you what. Why don't you come over to my house this evening, man? We'll play a game of Madden. I said, now, if you can beat me in the game of Madden, then I will, you know, of course, let you know, look at you and say, okay, you are a seasoned pastor. And so he came over to my house, and I want you to know that when he left, he had his head down. But what I like about Pastor Bryant, he didn't make any excuses. He said, Pastor, I said, I tell you what. He said, you got me here. He said, on this night. He said, but what I'm going to do on another occasion, he said, I'm going to bring my wife. I said, wait a minute. I've already whooped you. Now you want to engage your wife in this process? And so he brought his lovely wife, Terry, over to my house with my wife and I, and he tried to engage me in another game. This time, him and his wife left. I said, okay, man. I said, what I love about this pastor is that he's willing to be teachable. Amen, somebody. And so I want you to know that it's been a privilege. He is a very talented young man. When this position was available there in Salt Lake, I began to say to myself that this would be the right person for this position, that God would use him in a powerful and an awesome way. What you don't know is that oftentimes, and I want you to listen to me right now, listen to me, oftentimes God keeps the best secret sitting next to you. You'll catch that when you get home. Pastor Bryant is a powerful preacher par excellence. He is an excellent teacher. He's a balanced man. He loves his wife. And if he had children, we're still trying to figure it out, if he would be a wonderful father. I've watched him in very facets, very multitude of situations in his life. He's been a children's pastor. He's been a youth pastor. He's been a senior pastor. Pastor Bryant can do a lot of things. And so I want you to know that we were privileged to have him here. And I thank God to have him and his wife because they work together as a team. And so I want to share something with you all that I received from the head elder of the church where he is going in Salt Lake City, Utah. And I want you to listen to this because this is what the church sent up to the conference office after their interview with Pastor Bryant. So I want you to listen to what the congregation thought about him, your pastor here, this man of God. When he interviewed, this is what they sent up to the conference office. Church members indicated that Pastor Bryant clearly answered the congregation's questions. His answers were salient and directly addressed the questions. He appeared to be very comfortable with the process. there was a sense that he could address the needs of the young people in the church. Pastor Brian expressed an interest in supporting out-of-the-box evangelism that would help Central disseminate the gospel message to the surrounding communities. Pastor Bryant comes to the table with excellent credentials. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. He is a talented, this is what the congregation is saying, on their first interview. He is a talented, young, prospective shepherd with excellent musical skills. During the morning service, one of our many capable vocalists was performing a special music when a little church angel inadvertently pushed a button on the sound console. The accompanying track was abruptly interrupted. The songstress continued her musical presentation without supporting sound, and Pastor Bryant quietly made his way to the piano. Using his well-trained ear, he accompanied the singer on the piano with a smoothness that appears to be divinely inspired. He's not even there yet. Pastor Bryant was interactive in Sabbath school. He actively contributed to the lesson study. People felt that he was engaged with them in study on the topic. Listen to me. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Pastor Brian appeared to have enjoyed the afternoon meal. During lunch, he had sidebar conversations with several church members. Mrs. Brian was warmly received by the congregation. You don't have to worry about them. Central members were impressed with her diverse experiences with multiple church groups. She was interactive and appeared to be genuinely interested in meeting people and having warm and friendly conversations with everyone. Pastor Bryant did an outstanding job during the Friday evening and Sabbath morning services. He is an inspirational and dynamic speaker. And his homiletics appear to be superior than the other candidates. He indicated that he would be supportive of the church's young people. Pastor Brian is a preacher and a teacher. He said that he is willing to answer the call of God no matter where it leads, including doing the Lord's work in Salt Lake City, Utah. He said that he recognizes the church's diversity and looks forward to being everyone's pastor. The congregation rated him as the highest of the three prospective pastors. Henry Longfellow once said, "Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime. Departing, leave behind us footprints in the sand of time." Congratulations, Pastor Bryant. Thank you for all the work that you've done and your family.
Here we are. As Pastor Richardson earlier alluded to, Pastor Brian and I came on the scene together, and it has truly been my privilege. I'm mad at him right now. I don't know if I'm the person that should do this part of the service. I've been mad at him since we got the news, you know. But truly, I'm happy because it's good to see that God still has his way with his church and his ministry. In Luke, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus quoted, Jesus said these words, and I quote, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That is Pastor Brian's, that's the principle that he operates on. And what I love about it is that even though the Sanhedrin or conference officials here may not have recognized it immediately, he recognized the call of God and he answered to it. And the ministry and the kingdom of God will be better for it, I believe, because he did. At this time, I'm going to ask all pastors that are in here and all ordained elders to please come forward. Please come forward at this time as we get ready to recognize what God has done, as we get ready to send heaven's best. And that I'm also going to ask the women of the church, those that have been blessed by Sister Terry, to please come forward. Pastor Brian, Sister Terry, would you go down the middle? We're going to dedicate you for the ministry right now. You've already been dedicated, but we're just going to reconfirm what God has already done. Any woman in the church that has been blessed by the ministry of your sister, Sister Terry, come on down and circle around them both. You come around this way. If you've been touched by her ministry, if you've been blessed by her ministry, if you've just been blessed by her friendship and you just want them to know and you want them to go with God's best. Now, men of God, wait a minute. Before you put your hands on, take your hands off. We got to make sure they're going with holy hands that have been placed on them. So take a moment to make sure that you are right with God. You notice I haven't touched them yet. Because we don't want you to, no, hold on, take your hand. Let's make sure we're all right. Take that moment to ask the Lord. Get it right between you and the Lord. And church, would you please stand in the presence of God? Because this is serious. Because you know, the truth is God has called each and every single one of us to ministry. If you've been saved, you're called to ministry. A nation of priests and priestesses. God has called you to ministry. Same ministry, different roles. So take this time to remember that God has called you too, and that everything you do is reflective on the God that you serve and are trying to introduce to a dying world. Take this time to get your hearts right, especially those that are here in the front as we lay hands. It's symbolic. There's nothing special about our hands, but we are just asking right now that God will imbue them for their ministry in Salt Lake City. Amen. And so we want to make sure that our spirit is right, because sometimes the water is right, but the pipe can be unclean and contaminated and can contaminate the water. So we want to clean the pipes right now so that that pure living water can come on through. Heavenly Father, we ask right now for ourselves before we lay hands on your manservant, that God, we would each search our hearts and confess our sins to you. Father God, we ask that you would forgive us and that you would cleanse us. That you would cleanse us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, lifting up those holy hands, place them on Brother and Sister Brian. Our Father and our God, you whose goings forth have been from everlasting. Lord, we ask right now as we come into your presence. Father, we praise your name. We recognize in this solemn moment how holy you are. You are separate from all creation. The sun is brilliant and beautiful, God, but it's created. The seraphim and the cherubim who are dressed like lightning, and Father, whose very presence makes mighty soldiers quake and pass out for fear. God, they come into your presence and they veil their face and they bow their head because though they are awesome, they are created. You are separate from everything that we could think of. Everything is subjective to you. You are not only righteous, God, but you are holy, holy, holy. And Father God, you've called us to be holy, not just righteous. Righteous is moral perfection. Holiness is being set aside. And you have set aside this day the husband and wife ministry of Sheldon and Terry Bryan. You have set them aside for your special purpose, oh God. You have tried them in the fire of obscurity, oh God. You've sent them to the wilderness, and at times I'm sure they have felt and maybe wondered if they were forgotten, but God, you sustained them. You ministered to them through angels. Some of those angels were angelic and some of them were human. But it sustained them in the wilderness, and now, oh God, you've called them forth to go to the highways and the byways and to proclaim the good and acceptable year of the Lord. Father God, we lay hands on them recognizing that you have done and will do a mighty work in them. We lay hands on them to let them know, Father, that they go with the power of all heaven, that they go, God, under the banner of Jesus, that they go, Father, but they have been preceded by your Spirit that dressed out the heavens, by your Spirit that made God, the creator of all things, a baby to come through the womb of a woman. Oh God, you are awesome and you are terrible, and who can deal with you? Who can comprehend you? Father God, you kill giants with children's toys. Who are you, God? How could we know you except that you reveal yourself to man? Because the word says, who can search out the deep things of God? And so you send men, as you've revealed yourself, to use them as instruments to reveal them to other men. Father God, we know that right now they are in the honeymoon of ministry. But every marriage, even those that endure through the years, have their dark periods. And ministry is no different. In those dark periods, help them to remember, oh God, this moment. Help them to remember, oh God, the breakthroughs. Help them to remember, oh God, that it's not just about how they feel, but it is about lives being changed. And if they have to suffer a little rain, if they have to suffer a little pain, Father God, you will pay them back in full. When the evidence of their faithfulness is walking up and down the streets of gold forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Bless them and keep them. And then, Lord, we pray for those that are in our midst, because we've all been called to ministry, that we would be as faithful as the Bryans have been. Sometimes in the walk of our lives, our ministry, wherever that may be, may seem that it's unappreciated, may seem that it is unnoticed, may be misunderstood. Father, perhaps we are walking under the cloud of the shadow of pain, even now. But Father God, even though we go through the wilderness, we know that you've always brought your people out. And you will bring us to a place flowing with milk and honey if we would just hold on and trust you and believe in you. So let each one of us go forth here now, determined to fear God and to make your name known throughout the earth. This is the duty of us all. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please bow your heads and close your eyes for prayer. Dear God, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, to in some way, shape, or form, Lord God, give back, Lord God, to the ministry, Lord God, that saved us. We ask that you would be with the money, Lord God, that it would go to do your will, Lord God, and your work. Be with the givers, Lord God. Help us to be cheerful, Lord God. And help us all to be saved, most of all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Your touch.
I will trust you, Lord.
I'll trust you, Lord.
How I love you so much. Though my nights may seem long,
so many long nights,
and I feel so alone, but I trust in you. No one loves like you do. So many painful thoughts travel through.
Wonder how.
And I wonder how I will make
but I'll it trust you.
This time.
But I'll trust you, Lord. It's not easy. Sometimes the pain in my life
makes me seem far away.
But I'll trust you.
See, I need to know. It all.
The tears and the pain,
through the heartache,
through the heartache and rain, through the tears and the
through the
pain,
heartache and rain,
through the heartache and rain, through the tears and the pain, through the heartache and rain, through the tears and the pain, through the heartache.
I can.
I will.
I
Let Pastor Brian and Sister Cherry know from the Children's Ministry Department, from the Children of Imani. You guys have just been it. You've been teachers, you've been leaders, you've been advocates for us, you've been parents. Any parent in the audience ever had Pastor Brian and Sister Cherry babysat for them? Yep, there you go. Babysitters. Mentors. Any parent had that? There you go. Role models. You've been role models to our children. You've been role models to us as parents. You may not have kids for yourself, but all these kids right here, they're all yours. Leaders, they have led us. Personally for me, when I started being the director for children's ministry, Pastor Brian was my mentor. He was the person I went to and said, okay, what do I need to do? How do I do this? And so for me, I appreciate that. Confident. Anybody can tell you things that you didn't tell us, parents? I'm sure there are some of our young people, yes. Pastor Brian and Sister Cherry have been just that to them. Friends. Anybody in here friends? Sister Cherry and Pastor Brian? What about the children? Any of you think Pastor Brian and Sister Cherry are your friends? Yeah. Yeah. Advocates, teachers, leaders. The list could go on of all the things I could say to you guys on behalf of children's ministry and on behalf of the parents. Because without the parents, we wouldn't have children. Without children, we wouldn't have a ministry. So at this time, I want to just take a moment to say to you guys, you have been an inspiration to us. You've worked with us. You've led us for us. Our first children's church was last Sabbath, and Pastor Brian was in there playing the piano and playing around with the kids, and it was fun. We are going to miss you. I'm a little bit biased because I'm just praying I wake up tomorrow, you change your mind. And I know that's not going to happen, but I just want to say we are going to miss you. I know we're losing a lot. I know somebody is going to gain it, and for that I'm grateful, and I give God the thanks and the praise for it, but I just want to salute you guys and say thank you so much. Now, kids that have papers in your hand, we need you to turn around and show Pastor Brian and Sister Terry what it is you have to say to them. It's all messed up, but it was supposed to say. What it was supposed to say is that we love you. Now, could you guys just walk up and give them, whoever has that paper, just go ahead and give it to them. That's something from the kids we want you guys to keep. Go ahead, just give it to them. Okay, go ahead and line back up because we are going to say I love you in sign language to them. Yes. So, Omiana is going to show you guys what to do. You guys are going to follow Omiana's lead. You got to come in front of them. Thank you.
I Good morning, church.
Good morning.
This is a period, a time that I feel honestly that it's a mixed feeling for me. It's a loss, and it's also a happy occasion. It's a loss because Pastor Brian is one that I have depended on as the new pastor, as the new kid on the block, to assist, to help identify for me where the landmines are in the ministry in Moreno Valley. Guidance and suggestions and some that work, some that won't work, some that were listened to, some that were not listened to. But the most important thing is that you could, with my two churches, you could be gone and you trust that everything is okay at Imani with Pastor Brian here. I'm going to miss that. And I want to go. I feel like I want to leave too. So, I'm thankful that he has secured something that is after his heart. You will not know. You could get, I think a few weeks ago I mentioned to our church here that you could be receiving $1 million, and if you're not where your heart is, where you feel that you're called, you will not be happy. So Pastor Brian believes that he feels that he's called by the Lord as a pastor, and regardless of whatever else that he might be doing, unless you're doing that for which you are called to do, you will not feel fulfilled. So this is an opportunity for him, and to have his own church and to be responsible for members under his care as a shepherd. So we thank God, and today we just want you to know that I hope you do know that this church loves you, because this is, we want you to believe that this is your home church. We are sending you off to go and prosper, and we'll be following up on your progress and your prosperity also. And so we're sending you out with the blessings today. I wanna talk a little bit about Pastor Brian, because my role here is to introduce him and Terry, his right hand woman of excellence, because this guy here will not do what you believe he has done for you without Terry. She pulls him together. Someone said, and that happens to be you, I don't know if she was biased, so she said that she keeps him organized. So, but I thought it was, you know, because I think he's so organized, he's so perfect in his in things that he does. So I know the secret behind that. So Terry, we thank you very much. Terry is a woman of God, and if there is a passion that Terry loves, and I'm gonna miss that, and that is her desire, her burden is to see married couples in this church remain in unity and in harmony. And she has gone through length and breadth to secure programs that are successful, that are encouraging. And you hear her talk; she seems like she's an older woman, mature, but she thinks higher than her age. So, but don't let her baby face don't mistake that. But she has a lot of wealth of value and information and character that she brings into that ministry. So we will miss her a lot. And the women of this church, you'll be missing a lot, and I know that a lot of people will be gaining. Sister Terry, you're a man of God, a woman of God, and thank you for your support for Pastor Brian. And we have, on behalf of the church, we have a couple of things we want to present to you. Pastor Brian, we know that you have been a young man. Well, let me start something about the beard and all those things. Now, no need for all those stuff, right? So, okay. So, we are sending you off as a pastor. So we have three symbolic gifts we want to give to you. You know, something happened. There's a story in the book of Daniel where God sent out a messenger to go answer a prayer of Daniel. And somehow that messenger was intercepted by something along the way. And for how many weeks? 3 weeks. So there's a messenger that we sent, and that messenger got intercepted. He's not here today. So what's going to happen is that we will receive that message and we'll find you where you are, and we'll deliver it according to the way God sent it. Amen. Is that all right? Amen. Now, that's one. Two is this that our young people are here, and I would like for them to come last, because they'll mess you up a little bit this morning. Okay, they'll embarrass you because you embarrassed some of them too. So they'll pay you back this afternoon. But seriously though, the church wants to thank you for your ministry. But we have a symbolic gift. Elder Ximenes would like to present this to you. We know you have lots of these, but there's something about this Bible. There's no better gift in the world than that. You're going to be serving a Seventh Adventist church, so that's a Bible that has the hymn book, Seventh Adventist hymn book. We want you to sing all the Seventh Adventist hymns, not something else. certainly not on anything on 24, you know. But we want you to sing the heavenly hymns. But there's also something, the words of Christ are in red in that Bible, but there's also something very special. He's stealing that thing. Don't let him see that first. But inside that book, we have also Ellen White comments in that this thing. Now, if you have that copy already, good. So let me stop saying what the next I was going to say. So we thank you for the ministry. So we want to send you off so that you can be your best for the Lord. And Sister Terry, your gift is not, we can't handle it here. So it's coming in a bigger bag in the afternoon, okay? So we love you, but we just want to do that later, you know. So we also know that we wanted to bring people here to talk to you today, because we know that I've only known you here as a pastor for about 7 months. So you wouldn't believe me, whatever I say. So we wanted to call the General Conference President to talk to you, but his schedule was not, we couldn't get him to move that. We tried his secretary, Elder Bediako, and he couldn't make it. So we tried Clifford Jones from Andrews University. Clifford is not able to make it today. And so many people we tried. So we were able to get 22 people. Adventist leaders, they had something that they call, what they put together for you, effective pastoral ministry. So on behalf of the church, this book has been written by 22 world-known international authors and leaders of the Seventh Adventist Church, some of whom I have mentioned their names, some including Leslie Pollard, Dr. Pollard. So they all, their counsels for Pastor Brian are all included in this book. So we thought this is the best we can do. Don't take my word for it. Maybe you can try theirs. May the Lord bless you. I would like to invite our young people, Patrick.
Thank you.